This is the Truth Radio Network. It's the Truth Radio Network. Your home for compelling Christian news talk with an edge.
Look around and tell me what you see. Every day, more people in the street. Said I used to work in a factory. Right now, I don't work for anything.
I used to be able to sing like that, but then puberty set in, and I no longer could sing like that. Anyway, welcome into the show. Swift Kick in the Afternoon, Joseph and Jay, Jay and Joseph, grumpy older men, sitting in with you. Joe, how the heck you doing this week, buddy?
Oh, I am fighting a head chest cold. Got some sunshine yesterday, went out and played it, overdid it myself, so I'm a hurting unit today, but hey, we got to inform America to get ready for the great BS ride that's coming down the pike.
Yeah, you know, the more I'm watching this presidential election, the less interested I am in it. And I was pretty disinterested or uninterested, whichever the proper term is, to begin with. But Rusty, I saw his hand jump up in the air. So I want to bring you on right away because I'm going to have a sip of coffee. What's going on, buddy?
Not much. What's going on with you?
Sipping coffee, chat about the news.
Well, I hope that I have good audio because I bought a premium pair of earbuds with built-in microphone, and it wasn't one of those ones from the dollar store.
You sound good, guy.
Sounds so good.
Does it?
So far, hey. Yeah.
So far, till I drop my earbuds down in my Coke.
I hate to throw this in your face right off the bat. The oil is below 27.
I know.
The bottom was supposed to be 27, man. That's what you said.
I don't know what to say, man. I mean, the only thing I can say is I don't know. I don't know what I can say. I'd say I'm out of work.
Well, hey, you know what, though? There's good news. It might close above 27 because it's at 26.97 right now. So don't hold out hope yet. That's why I don't get too crazy. I don't get too crazy about the midday swings. But the markets are down. I mean, gold is doing well. The markets are down though. You sent me a message early this morning about the markets, and I saw it maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours later. And I went and checked, and sure enough, the markets were still kind of in a nosedive. So, big global sell-off, man. It's kind of interesting, all this stuff happening on a global scale. Wonder what's going to happen next.
I don't know. You know, I mean, it's just impossible to predict, you know. And I kind of was watching some stuff on a live feed on my computer last night, and I was watching Europe crash, you know, and I mean, it's just nobody could have predicted that they're crashing the European markets by flooding them with a bunch of sand potatoes, you know. I mean, and that's exactly what's causing the markets to crash over there. I don't think their social welfare system can't handle the strain. Even if you take their very conservative estimate that only 10% of these guys are, you know, there to blow stuff up. How many have they brought in? 100,000 in France in the last 6 months? So you start figuring that out, that's what, only 10,000? Hell, that's pretty good domestic army, you know?
Most definitely. And, but this has been planned. It's an invasion by a populace that, well, they're claiming are refugees, you know. I've never seen refugees wearing such nice clothes and having iPhones and everything else. Sorry. And there are women and children among them, but
not very darn many. Yeah,
not very many at all. And it's coming home to America. But what did you expect? We spent the last 20 years bombing people into the Stone Age. I'm sure that more than one or two of their brothers or sisters have died out there, and they're going to be coming here to get payback. And they'll lie through their teeth. Oh, yeah, yeah. Good person. Good person.
Yeah, well, it's not going to bode well. I think the European economy, well, it's been crashing. I think last night, if I recall, the Spanish markets, the biggest hit, but the French markets were not far behind them, and the German market was down like 4%. So, you know, it's not good.
Yeah, you know, all this
stuff. Keep praying and looking up.
Amen, bro. You know, all this happens at one time with the markets for a reason. You know, that gives everyone a reason, an excuse, rather, to further manipulate the currency. Because that's what's happening now. you know, they're actually floating the idea of negative interest rates. The Fed is actually kind of openly talking about the possibility of it. Banks are openly talking about the possibility of negative interest rates in this country. That's to simplify it down to its most minuscule terms, the money that your 401k, your retirement, or you have in the bank is now getting charged to sit there and park. You're not earning any interest on it. As a matter of fact, it's costing you money just to leave it there. And they're starting to float this idea and stress test the banks for this. That's what gets me. Stress test the banks. Has no one been watching what's been happening in Europe? And now, even like you said, overnight, it kind of fell apart over there. And I expect more of it this evening as well.
Yeah, I don't know. I well, let's see what happens tonight. And I think tomorrow I'm going to head out to the gun range, and so I don't have to have any internet connection out there to watch what's going on. Might be the best thing to do.
No prepping tomorrow?
Going to the gun range is prepping, isn't it?
I guess.
I'm getting rid of that displaced aggression so that you can clearly think is most definitely a prepper tool.
Yeah.
And
well,
I'll
fill the dryer up. Go ahead.
I find that it's quite stress relieving, and got to work out muscle memory so we can stay on our toes. And, range time is always prepper time.
Well, I'll fill the food dryer up tonight. I got a real good deal on tomatoes yesterday. I got about 12 pounds of tomatoes for $3. They were overstocked, so that's a pretty good deal. And they were organic, which is really nice. So good tomatoes.
Sweet.
So I'll get those filled up, and I'm going to make me some tomato powder and, you know, all that. So, and, you know, it takes it 24 hours to dry. And once it's dried, I'll make me some really cool powder out of it. And, you know, maybe add some of my scorpion powder to it, so I got a spicy, you know, type thing there going on. So.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Sweet.
There you go.
Yeah, but,
So.
No, it's, no, I want to put a little bit of emphasis on there. Range time is very, very therapeutic. At least it is for me. And, I don't go out with the intention of, shooting target boards with pictures on them. I go out there and I am continuing to work on my skill of accuracy. And I personally get a little bit of self-satisfaction slaughtering a beer can at 400 yards, you know. There's just something more enjoyable about watching that can blow up way out there more than there would be drinking that can cold. And it's just something hard to explain, but to me it gives me a great joy and relief, you know, it's something positive, and I've got to find that little loophole in where we can go out and release, you know?
Well,
right.
It's like we talked about last week, you know, we talked about, Jay had brought up skills, you know, that skills were important, whether that skill is being able to butcher a large animal, make your own sausage, dry your own spices and fruits, and I just consider being able to hit a target at 100 yards a skill. I know so many people out there, and I'm the same way. I used to shoot 1,000 yards. Okay, I'm pushing 50. I don't see 1,000 yards anymore, so I can't do that. I can't hit those targets at 1,000 yards anymore. And if I do, it's luck. So, you know, I go out and I practice at 100 yards or 200 yards, and with the cost of ammunition and the reloading components anymore, it's just I don't shoot a lot. It's I just keep my skill up. And people say, well, how is shooting a survival skill? Well, again, being able to harvest your own food, unless
Amen.
You're going to go out and live on you know, your lawn clippings. I'm not a vegetarian. I couldn't be a vegetarian. I prefer to eat meat, and meat's not going to just jump into the pot. So if you want to, you're going to have a bunny rabbit, or you're going to have deer, or you know, maybe even cattle. If it gets to the point where cattle are wild, you've got to dispatch that animal before you can turn them into T-bone steaks or stew.
Right.
So the best way to do that is to, if you can and you have the wherewithal, is to shoot that animal. So don't like killing animals. It's just a kind of a fact of life. If I want to eat meat, I have to kill an animal. So it's a skill, and it comes along and practice with what you got. And, you know, even I recommend, everybody always asks, what's the best little prepping or survival rifle? And I'd just say a .22. You know, a little semi-auto .22 or even a bolt-action .22, because it's unless you're planning on declaring war on an army, the .22 is a perfect survival rifle because you can take just about anything down with it. Here in Montana, it's actually legal to hunt deer with a .22. I wouldn't do it. Don't recommend it, but it is legal to do. So, you know,
I dropped my first deer at close range with a .22. And it dropped. I went over and euthanized it because a clean kill is the best way to go. But, you know, you don't want the animal suffering and being in pain. But my father taught me something very, very good and important to me while growing up, that you only harvest what you're going to eat. None of this senseless shooting. I don't really see the point of these dove hunters going out and just blasting doves and leaving them lying around. Waste of time and mental effort there.
Well, it's illegal too.
Yeah.
Doves, ducks, geese, a few others, they fall under that Migratory Bird Act, and it's actually a federal offense, so you don't want to get caught doing that. But, you know, and I would recommend, you know, if you were to have just two rifles, shotguns, whatever, I would recommend a .22 and a 12-gauge shotgun with a long barrel. I'm not talking about, you know, one of these shotguns with a little 18.5-inch barrel and an 8-round magazine. That's not what you need. It's good for one thing, and that's defending the home, and that's about it. You put a 28-inch barrel on that son of a gun, you can still defend your home with it, and you can also go out and shoot birds with them.
Yeah.
And if you had the wherewithal, you could run slugs through it and go for something a little bit bigger. Here in Montana, if you can get a 200 or 300-yard shot on an animal, you're lucky. So shotgun with slugs is not an option for most of us here.
No. Not unless it's a bear and he's running at you.
I sure would hate to tackle a grizzly bear with a 12-gauge.
Oh, that would
really
be a scary day. Hope you're hauling a bandolier with you. I think the last 5 months, well, 3 or 4 months ago, a friend of mine goes, yeah, did you see there's a story floating around about a grizzly attack, and I guess the hunter unloaded his 7mm into it five times, and the thing dropped. Well, apparently the bear had what was left of the previous camper that he found, and had been shot up by the guy's .38, and apparently the bear was carrying around quite a bit of lead of his own, you know. Wild animals are not the pleasant, fuzzy creatures you see in the zoo. You cannot go down and get your picture with them, you know. That's why they have glass there, people.
Yeah, I mean, that is something to think about. And not even necessarily these large carnivores like we have here in Montana. We got wolves and we've got bears, of course. Some of the other stuff is not so nice either. I was on the North Slope of Alaska. They figured that 100% of the foxes up there carried rabies. The rabies was suppressed because of the temperature and the weather. But if you got bit, it was a serious deal. You got a one-way ticket out of there to a hospital where they started jabbing you with needles in your stomach. I don't know if they do that anymore, but that used to be the cure for rabies. It was guaranteed that if you got slobbered on or you got bit by one of those North Slope foxes, you would have rabies. So when you're preparing to go out and try to make it by hunting, be aware that there's stuff out there that's not just going to eat you, but can give you diseases. And foxes and raccoons are another one that are real nasty. We've got badgers here. I don't know about where you guys live, but we've got badgers that are pretty darn, they're extremely ferocious. We've got wolverines, which I know Jay's got up there in Michigan.
Badgers.
Yeah, there's some badgers, of these critters.
We don't need no stinking badgers.
Yeah.
No, contrary to popular belief, there might be some wolverines here in the Wolverine State, but wolverines are not indigenous to Michigan.
They're not.
No.
I did not know that. Even in the UP?
Even in the UP.
I did not know that. Well,
but they can be found in Michigan.
They're indigenous here, and we've got them.
They're not a native species. They're not native to Michigan, but they can be found in Michigan.
I gotcha. Right, okay. Yeah, usually the smaller critters are the disease carriers, and that could be everything from rabies to rats carrying bubonic plague. We had a lot of folks don't realize, but the western, what you guys call a pronghorn antelope, I guess, we call them goats. were almost completely wiped out back in the 20s and 30s by bubonic plague. They were down to, they believe, 300 or 3,000 remaining animals, and the animals that are left are the animals that are here today are results of that small herd of 3,000. And that doesn't sound like, that sounds like a big herd, but if you've ever run across some of these herds of antelope, they're a pretty good size. I don't think they get 3,000, but bubonic plague is something to really worry about, because it's not native to the New World, but it has made its way here. And there's other stuff too, avian flu. So, you know, with that kind of stuff, and you're doing your butchering, you're doing your cleaning of your wild game, be very cautious. I don't wear rubber gloves or latex gloves of any sort, but I'm very, very cautious about nicking my fingers while I'm butchering. And another thing to really consider is, unless you're really, really hungry, I don't recommend eating the organ meats, the liver, the heart, the kidneys. You know, I like kidneys and I like heart, but I just don't, you got to be really careful. A friend of mine got a buffalo permit a couple of years ago. Actually, it was my friend's wife. We went over and shot a wild buffalo over Yellowstone, well, just outside the park there. And they recommend you don't that you wear rubber gloves and you don't eat any of the organ meat, because they carry brucellosis. And people can get brucellosis. Animals can get brucellosis. So they say that it's pretty much tame to the organs, but they just recommended you not eat them. And I, against my better judgment, I guess I left all the good organ meat there for the wolves to have. But it's just not worth it. In human beings, it makes you get like sleeping sickness, or, you know, you get real lethargic, and hell, I'm lethargic enough as it is. So something to think about if you are doing your butchering. You know, the brains are another one. I love head cheese, love, you know, pig brains, but is it, especially if you are in a situation where you won't have access to good medical care, is it really kind of worth, you know, getting the crud over? So, you know, you got to think about it. And then if you are going to eat it, you know, cook it really well. And again, especially down in Wyoming over the border, they've had outbreak of a prion like Creutzfeldt-Jakob's disease. You know, that the bovine spongiform, it's a variant on that. It's a prion. It's a protein. It's a mutated protein that has virus-like qualities. And there's nothing you can do to destroy. You can cook it to a burning crisp, and that stuff will still exist in there. So, but it's indicative of the brains and the organs again. So you got to think about that and educate yourself. Don't believe it because I said it. Get on the internet and search it a little bit. Don't believe it if it's on the internet either. But I mean, you know, get some credible sources on it on the internet. So, well, there's my prepping tip of the week, I guess, huh?
Oh no, some excellent tips and. I don't go out and hunt deer recently. I have in the past. I was taught long ago, they're called guts for a reason. You leave them buried, so that, if you're up in the woods, then the local animals will take care of that. The internal organs, that's where, everybody knows your kidneys are your filters, so you don't even go there. It's just, go to a reputable source and get your information, please, people. And power is knowledge, and information is power.
Well, and
come on, Jay. We're waiting
for you
to say something.
No, we don't need Jay to say nothing. He's best quiet. There's a couple of other things that I do recommend. I am, as you know, I'm not exactly a fan of government, any government, period. However, that being said, they do exist, and there are a couple of branches of government that can help you with such things. If you have a Game and Fish, here in Montana we call them FWP, Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. You can go to these guys and find some of the older guys, because a lot of these new people, they're idiots. They're, you know, hi, my name is Jennifer, and I have a degree from Columbia University, and I was born and raised in Washington, D.C., and I know everything there is to know about deer. Okay, that's not the kind of person you want to go to. You want the crusty old fart that's been hunting all his life, that knows a lot about it, and you can go to these guys and you can get information. They probably have a pamphlet or a book that they would love to give you on game, dangers of processing wild game, dangers of even – a lot of them will even not just deal with the game, but they'll also deal with indigenous plants and some of the invasive species. They got all kinds of great information. The second one that I really, really like, they are a governmental agency, but they're at a local level, and that is – your county extension agent. And I don't know if you guys have them. I'm sure Joseph does. Very common in rural areas. They are a resource for farmers, ranchers, and gardeners. What's really nice about our county extension agent here is when we have our little farmers market, they set up a booth and they have little pamphlets. They're nothing special. They're not even in color. They're black and white. But, you know, recognizing leafy spurge or recognizing some of the, you know, yellow mold spot and some of these diseases, I don't know what they are. They have little pamphlets on that and they can help you out, but they also deal with animal diseases. So you can talk to them about rabies and you can talk to them about some of the other stuff that's out there. And they are just a wonderful plethora of knowledge because a lot of these folks are local. Most of them are local. They were born and raised where you are. They're usually older folks because it's not a really good paying position. A lot of it's volunteer type work. They will have information on animals, plants, weather, planting conditions, soil conditions. The local one here will even, you can bring them a bag of soil and they'll do a little soil analysis and tell you what you're missing or what you need to add to your soil. So just want to give a plug out for these two organizations. And I hate Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. Don't get me wrong. I can't stand these guys. They're Gestapo agents, but they do have information for you that'll help you out.
I agree there, and it's go to the old people. I can't put more emphasis on the natural resource that we have of knowledge that's just fading away in these nursing homes and stuff. So go spend some time, play some chess or checkers with some of these older people. Find out what they did during the Depression to, you know, right, to get by and make things work. And
there are a lot of older folks, and well, you know, I'm not such a pessimist, to be honest with you. I can't say that things are going to be real hunky-dory rosy, but I think that folks that are prepared, that are taking the time to prepare, that I'm sorry, Jay, but I'm going to say this, that are away from those cities, because I think the cities, they're not going to care about us. They're not going to care about us poor country folks out here that are scraping a living out of the ground and, you know, raising a couple of sheep or something to get by. They don't care about us. The cities are where the population is, and they're the ones that are going to have to be controlled. And when, you know, when the local folks can't go down to Walmart and buy their, you know, peanut butter crackers and their, you know, Big K soda or whatever it is they sell there for drinks, or the welfare checks don't cash, or they're no longer enforcing child support because there's no money left or whatever, that's when the problem's going to be. I really think that folks out here will be better off, my opinion.
Right, right. You folks will have your different, your own set of unique problems. But yeah, you're correct in the problems that I foresee for the urban areas, the more populated areas. Yeah, absolutely. Don't think I'm not prepared for that, though, my friend.
Well, you know where you can come. It's not that far away.
I appreciate it.
But you know that there, and you're right. Rural folks, especially ones in our climate, do have our own set of problems, you know, and those problems can be, we have weather here. I mean, we have pretty extreme weather here. You know, we're at the end of the trade routes because, you know, the food would go to the city folks and to this, you know, larger towns first. Us folks out here in the middle of nowhere, we're going to be last in line when it comes to what we get. We're definitely not going to see any fresh bananas should the trade routes go down, you know, or oranges or anything else. So, yes, we have our own set of problems. We have, you know, BLM scum crawling everywhere because over half of the state's supposedly owned by the federal government. So, yes, we have our own problems over here.
Yeah. Don't feel like Lone Ranger. They're trying to do the same thing here in Kansas. And if you get water that collects in a slight depression, that's a puddle, you know, for 45 minutes out of the whole year. Now they're claiming that they have protective water right conservation privileges to come and confiscate your property.
Yeah. Well, what we're running into here is so much of the state is owned. They can't own it. They don't have any legal authority to own this property. They control
it. Yeah.
It's controlled by the feds, both the Bureau of Land Management and the Forest Service. And what they're doing is they shut roads down. They've got, I think our senator here said that 2/3 of the roads on Forest Service and BLM land has been shut down over the last 5 years. They just shut it down. They build a fence, and you can't go through there anymore. You know, they can't, by state law, deny an individual access to their private property. But what they can do is deny individuals access to the so-called public lands, and that's what they're doing. And it's, again, I think as times get worse, and they are getting bad, I don't care what anybody says, we now have approximately 1/3 of working-age adults not in the workforce, as they call it, which is unemployed. Not 5%.
Oh, come on, it's 4.9%. 4.9%,
yeah,
Rusty.
Okay.
Well, Obama did what he said.
Yeah.
He cut the unemployment rate in half.
Sure, because he changed the numbers. he changed
no,
how they define unemployment.
He didn't change numbers. He just kept using the same old skew numbers they've been using, that's all.
Well, and you changed the definition of what is unemployed, and that's exactly what happened under this Labor Department, is they've changed how they define unemployed, because after 99 weeks of being unemployed, you're no longer unemployed. And if you were working 10 hours a week at a quickie mart, you're not unemployed. Exactly, and that's what it is.
Right.
So,
yeah, I know. I was teasing you.
I know you were. Hey, don't make me come out there. but it's a real problem. We got real issues with. I really am watching right now with bated breath what's happening in Europe and our markets, because I know Jay disagrees with me, but I'm really starting to see things cascading down, and I mean really cascading down.
I don't disagree with that. I just disagree with
no. But you that
quickness.
I'm in my time.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that they just don't have much more they can milk out of our economy. I mean they really don't. What else? I mean,
sure they
wow.
do. Come on. Yeah, they do. Come on. Please. I can think of.
What's
I can
left?
Think of. There's still. Housing is starting. They're starting to sell houses again at questionable mortgage deals for houses. There are other things now, Rusty, that people buy and pay for as they go. Do you know you can get your smartphone now, pay as you go, or a rent to own or lease type of deals.
Yeah.
There are so many ways. Yeah, there are so many ways for companies and. Corporations to suck money out of the consumer. We're far from at the bottom yet, man. Oh, there's plenty
of ways. But as this continues, the value of the dollar is going lower and lower, and you know that.
As long as folks have their trinkets, they're not going to notice. And as long as they can get
but
their
I
trinkets.
Understand. But if they're not stealing tangible assets, such as, you know, I've got this pistol right here in my truck and it's got a value to it, or I've got this bar of silver in my, you know, underneath my bed and it's got value to it. If they're just stealing a depreciating asset, that's not smart.
Not
smart at all.
I know.
So,
and by
so
the time
they steal
by the time the idiots
asset,
realize it, it'll be too late.
Yeah, but by them, they're stealing this depreciating asset, and as they're stealing it, because they're stealing it, they're actually causing that depreciating asset to depreciate even more. It would be a whole lot better to convert your fiat money and your depreciating assets into assets that are hard and tangible, such as gold or silver or something else, or property, vehicles, food, whatever. And then when the system crashes, come back with those hard assets and purchase the stuff that you were trying to steal in the first place for pennies on the dollar. That would be the smart way to do it, in my opinion. I mean, that's, you know, that's why I hoard silver and gold and other precious metals and gemstones and stuff. When the system continues to go down, I can go in and say, hey, I'll give you 10 ounces of silver for that, you know, 2008 Chevy Silverado pickup. Well, I don't want a Chevy, but you know what I'm saying. You understand? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, I mean, these people aren't stupid. You know, these banking clans and all that, they're not stupid. They know what they're doing, and that's why we're seeing so many of them rush from this country. I actually watched an interesting thing on, I think it was MSNBC, which is, you know, the financial channel here on my computer, where they were talking to a couple of these medical companies they basically just said, bye-bye America. We're going elsewhere. We can't afford the taxes here anymore. Well, you know, we're estimating that we're going to save, you know, $2.3 billion this year just in tax revenue alone, and we're going to Switzerland, or we're going to Sweden, or, well, not Sweden, but, you know, we're going to a European country and setting up shop there, and we'll export our stuff to the United States. And that's what they're doing, and that's a big danger to this country. When we start seeing everybody leave, we've already seen the manufacturing leave. So when we start seeing our medical company,
correct,
everything else, where we're going to be forced to buy everything from overseas, all that does is it devalues the dollar even more.
Absolutely.
So my opinion on it. And again, that's kind of what I prepare for is financial collapse, because I firmly believe that's what's coming.
Exactly. And just pray that that the sheeple are will wake up soon.
But they're not. That's the problem, Joseph.
Yeah.
We have, I like to call it generational welfare. I don't know where the hell I come up with that. Maybe it's something that somebody else has used. We have generational welfare, where we have dependency on the system. And as we have more and more people dependent on the system must find some way to garner more and more revenue to support the folks that are more and more dependent on the system. That means folks that are working are paying more and more in taxes, and eventually they get to the point where we have, in fact, they said this year, 2015 was the first time in the history of the United States that the middle class was no longer the majority. No longer the majority. The middle class, no longer the majority. That is the devaluation of the dollar. That's staring you straight in the face. Even if you got a 2% COLA, which is cost of living allowance, on your paycheck, that is not enough to beat the inflation and devaluation of the dollar.
George Bush's fault.
So, well, it partially is George Bush's fault. I agree. Not all, but it's partially. I mean, this has been going on for 20-plus years, you know.
I know.
I think under Clinton it wasn't so bad.
We can start blaming it on Reagan, or before Reagan, actually, on Ford.
Well, I think I think we go all the way back to Nixon. But Ford wasn't so bad of a president. He didn't really do anything but fall down and make Chevy Chase skits. So I kind of like those guys that do nothing, that golf and fall over, and, you know, they're bumbling idiots. That's what a president's supposed to be. Somebody we can make fun at and, you know, shake hands with the Queen of England type of thing. We have had activist presidents since probably Richard Nixon. Johnson was after Nixon. Never mind. Johnson was a scumbag.
Yeah.
Johnson was. A lot of this I can really firmly put on Johnson's head. I mean, he was a turd. He was the turd. He was the turd of the turds, because he was a terrible, wicked, evil individual, and he was the one that really propagated the nanny state. We'll take care of you, and everything will be okay, and don't worry, and you know. That kind of crap. Of course, he was corrupt and crooked too. So that's where I can kind of see things really starting to go downhill, was with Johnson. Although prior to him, Roosevelt was not any better either. So, you know, it's just been a progression. And I think they said 94% or 95% of the value of our dollar since its inception. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Right.
And that hurts you and me, guys that are working and saving money the old school way to retire when they turn 65 and a half or 70 or whatever. The
you think
inflation,
you're going to get there? Keep dreaming.
Well, I don't have too much longer to go.
Neither do I.
The devaluation of the dollar and the money in your, you know, even if you're seeing a realized gain in your 401k of, you know, 6%, you're not beating the devaluation of the dollar and the inflation rate on that 6%. That 6% is not staying up with the devaluation and the inflation. So, you know, we got problems.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have a daughter. I'd like to leave her something. I don't want to leave her amount of debt, but all I can do is pray.
Yeah.
As we're chatting here, silver is up to almost $16 an ounce. Just a couple weeks ago, Rusty, we were talking about it being $13 an ounce and what a good deal it was.
I know. I know.
And less than 13. Man, there's a lot of selling going on in the markets, but there's a lot of buying in precious metals. I've noticed that in the last few weeks. Silver is still a good deal if you can get it. Man, you talked about you know, retire, saving up for retirement and whatnot. What better way to take $16 a month out of your, you know, pay? If you get paid weekly, it's $4 a week. Buy an ounce of silver, even at $20 an
yeah,
ounce.
And,
you know, just buy
an ounce.
You know,
12
ounces in a year. That's 3/4 of a pound of silver. Go ahead, bro.
I'm going to plug a company, and I'm not affiliated with these people, other than I buy stuff from them. But look at Provident Metal online, Provident Metals. They're usually like $1 to $1.25 over spot. And if you buy $100 worth, I know that sounds like a lot of money, but if you buy $100 worth, I believe they did. I haven't bought for a while, but I believe they have free shipping for, you know, $100 or more. It's not a bad deal, and they drop it at your house. You don't, and it's not like you're buying it and they're holding it or anything. You buy it and they send it to your home, and you got, you know, physical 1 ounce rounds or bars of silver. And they sell gold and other stuff too, you know, and it's not a bad deal. I, you know, buy the generic rounds, or what they call a generic round. It's like the buffaloes or something, and $1 over spot's not bad. And they'll buy it back to from you too if you want. So, yeah,
good deal.
When you buy it, they actually lock the price in. So if you buy an ounce of silver and it's at $13 today, and tomorrow morning all of a sudden it opens up at $17, you still get it for the locked in price of $13 plus the, you know, whatever you got to pay in commission, the premium, usually $1 over spot. So I've had good luck with them. I've done a lot of checking around, and they seem to be the best that I've found out there. And again, I'm not affiliated with these folks, but it's a good way to save your assets, protect your assets from what's going on, and it's going to increase. This is just the beginning. You think it's been bad over the last 5 years or 10 years? This is nothing compared to what's coming up. I mean, it's going to get to the point where we're going to be like, you know, the Weimar Republic, where it's going to take, you know, $100,000 to buy a loaf of bread. You have to go down and load them in the back of your pickup and haul them down to the store. It's coming. That kind of hyperinflation is coming. And people who don't think it's coming, look at what happened in Zimbabwe. What is it now? It's not Zimbabwe. Well, it used to be Rhodesia. Now it is Zimbabwe. There you go. You know, I've got, you can actually buy 100 million Zimbabwean dollars in one bill online for about $4, and that's paying for premium collector's value. So, yes, it can happen here.
Yeah, most definitely. And I just glanced at silver and gold. It's not coming back down, people. Have physical assets. First take care of your food, your water, your security situation, then invest wisely from there. Do not invest in paper gold or paper silver. If you don't have it in your hand, you don't own it.
I agree, and with the paper, you know, you're trusting that there's actually gold there. They say there's not enough gold to fill the contracts, same with silver. So I would never buy gold or silver unless somebody claimed to store it for me. That would never happen. I think another thing to look at, and I think we talked about it previous, is maybe some foreign currency, but right, not the crappy foreign currency. You know, I don't think I'd buy the euro or anything like that, but I do have some Swiss francs. I think that's
yeah, and you're holding,
one of these things that
you're holding some rubles, aren't you there, Vladimir?
I have some Russian rubles. I've got some Ukrainian I got some Ukrainian
rubies.
Money. Is it rubies? No, that's
yeah.
That's India. That's India. Anyhow, I've got some Romanian or some Ukrainian. I've got some Chinese yuan, and I got some Japanese yen or whatever the hell they call it. I just buy some foreign currencies once in a while. If I'm traveling through the airport, I'll plop a $20 bill down, and I'll buy $20 worth of some funny-looking money that I can't read, you know, and
yeah.
Throw it in a box. I mean, you never know. And
right,
it's
yeah.
Too. So, you know, the Swiss francs are really cool-looking. So, you know, so think about that, too, and think about some diamonds and maybe some gems. I don't say diamonds so much, but maybe some semi-precious gems. Because what you're looking to do, in my opinion, is I'm looking to preserve my wealth through a bad time because I anticipate it to not be bad forever.
Okay.
Does that make
Question
sense?
For you. Almost.
Sure.
Question for you. What's that? What are those diamonds going to do for you in a grid down situation?
Nothing in a grid down situation. But what they will do is allow me to take money that I have now that's devaluing, tie up the price, lock in a price on that money by buying a semi-precious stone. As the money devalues and eventually crashes and we get a new currency back, that diamond will allow me to take my money past that cliff and get it to the other side where it has value again. Does that make it preserves wealth?
Exactly.
Does that make sense? You understand what I'm saying? It's not like I'm going to use a diamond to go buy a loaf of bread. I'm using that diamond, and I look at the silver the same way, silver and gold, as something to get my money past a crash or my value, my wealth, past a crash to the other side where the crash is over and we've kind of got things back up and running and there's a new currency, and I can replace that dollar with something new without losing the value of it. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got you, man. I got you. I was just playing devil's advocate, brother.
No. I understand.
We
that.
Hear it all the time.
You know, I don't
can't
think
eat gold. You can't
right,
eat silver. Well, you can't eat your diamonds, there, pal. No, I do understand.
With it. Yeah.
No, I do understand what you're saying. I do understand what you're saying.
I need preserve wealth.
Right.
You know, you can't eat the Mona Lisa either. But if I owned the Mona Lisa, and then the economy crashed, and 5 years later we've got a new, you know, a Nuevo Americano bill, and I can take my Mona Lisa and sell it, and I've preserved my wealth through those bad times. Things can do that. Firearms are one, although in this day and age, that's a dangerous thing to have because they may be coming after it. But, you know, semi-precious, precious metals, you know, anything like that, anything of value that people want that, you know, retains value. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm not saying a laptop computer or anything like that. I'm saying gold, silver, precious stones, semi-precious stones, art, firearms, stuff like that.
Yeah. Camping equipment. Camping water gear. Filters.
Sure.
There's some really good deals out there. People are trying to tighten their belt. So check eBay people. We're getting close. This has been a quick hour, gentlemen. I'm just I'm going to hop onto my soapbox early. You don't have a good relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, now is the time. Invest in the best-selling book of all times, and Prepper Manual, Holy Bible. You got some of that private time, check your email, get down and pray, listen for that small voice. Watch out for your, take care of your family, your pets, your neighbors, and especially the old people in your area. And no man is an island, and we gotta, this is going to be a community effort thing, if we're going to get to the other side, so... Plan accordingly and prep accordingly, please. And with that, Jay, Rusty, it has been a great show. I got to go blow my nose big time. So I'm going to let you gentlemen wrap up the show and have an awesome day and a super week. Rusty, an alternative to firearms, archery people, there's some really, really nice crossbows out there that can reach out and are very, very quiet. Hint, hint.
Right on.
Plan and prep accordingly.
All right,
you guys.
Go blow your nose, brother.
God bless, Jay.
God bless. We'll talk
Adios.
To you next week, brother. Boy, yeah, good show, Rusty. Glad you could join us once again this week, man. Always fun to have
appreciate
you on
the
show.
Appreciate the invitation.
Yeah, anytime, man. You
appreciate
know, open
the invitation.
Invite. Yeah, open invite anytime. You know, Joe and I are doing a show and whatnot. I'd hoped to get into a little bit of a conversation, but maybe a starter for next week. I wanted to talk a little bit about how some folks have a problem coming to grips with the fact that people can be preppers and Christians too. There's a lot of people.
Okay, well, I could. Yeah.
There's a lot of folks, yeah. And this will be a starter for next week. So this will probably be our topic for next week. But there's a lot of people, and I've heard it a lot. Oh, you know, if you're a Christian, why are you prepping? You know, put everything in God's hand, and so I want to get into that because that's a topic that comes up frequently, and mm-hmm. I think it's a good topic. I think it's something interesting to talk about. But that'll have to wait until next week. So, Joe, go blow your nose there and grab a cup of coffee. wait till next week to talk about that. As always, Rusty, good having you on the show. You want to plug your website or anything before we sign off?
Sure, thetaoofrusty.yolasite.com. And hit me up on MeWe.com. MeWe. You can find Worldwide Prepping and Survival there. And look for Russell Shackelford there, S-H-A-K-E-L-F-O-R-D. And friend me. Lots of
yeah. Now for folks who aren't familiar with MeWe, let everybody know what MeWe is, because there's a lot of people who don't like Facebook, and that's the exact reason why MeWe is becoming popular. But go ahead.
Well, yeah, and the problem with Facebook, you know, they started deleting, just even if you have a picture of a gun, they're deleting your accounts now. I call them fascist book or fecal book. So MeWe was set up, it's private, it's not publicly traded, and it's a Facebook alternative. It doesn't have a lot of the teenage drama garbage going on. I will eventually be deleting my Facebook account and moving everything over there. So it's a good account. It takes a little bit to get used to. It's different. It's a different format than YouTube.
One thing is Facebook. One thing that's important to note about MeWe is that right off the bat, I tell you right away, you own your content. No question, no doubt about it. Whatever you post,
right.
Anything it's yours. It belongs to you. So I mean, it's really more secure and more user-friendly than Facebook. Because I know a lot of people just stay off of Facebook for security reasons, you know?
Yep. Well, Facebook will steal your crap. I mean, you know, they will.
Right.
They'll steal your pictures and your videos.
Yeah, so check out Rusty on MeWe. I believe you and I are friends there on MeWe. I don't go there too often, but I don't go to Facebook very often either. So, oh, well.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. All right. Have a great weekend, Rusty, and have some fun at the range tomorrow, huh?
I definitely will be doing that.
What's the weather going to be like?
You know, it's the weirdest winter I've ever seen. This is our coldest month of the year, and we're at 61 degrees today.
What are you expecting for tomorrow?
61 degrees. Talking
wow.
Maybe rain. February, we should be 20 or 30 below zero. And we're sitting here in the 60s every day. We hit 70
and we're
every day.
We're in the deep freeze. Yeah, we're in the deep freeze here. It's single digits over here. But this year has been really weird, really warm like yours. This is our week of winter.
Yeah.
Pretty much it.
We need it, though. We rely on that winter, the snow
right.
Specifically, for irrigating water and to kill the bugs off. You know, we got bug problems here. We got that Japanese borer beetle destroying our timber and everything. So we need it, and we're not going to get it, it doesn't look like. Of course, March and April may come along. We may get 50 feet of snow, too.
Right. You never know.
So, thank you, Jay, and I'm going to send you a message. I need to talk to you about something.
All right, brother. Have a good weekend. Have a good day. You folks listening, thanks for listening. We appreciate your support. SoundCloud, Spreaker, YouTube, Vimeo, Blog Talk Radio, and you folks catching it on our website, www.thetruthradionetwork.com. We appreciate it. Thanks all for listening. Sermon show is this weekend, 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Central. Some good sermons from A.W. Tozer this week, or this next show. Take care, everyone. God bless. This is the Truth Radio Network. The Truth Radio Network, your home for compelling Christian news talk with an edge.